Now, back to Dimitri, live and dangerously local on Big Willie 105.5 and the River Talk Radio Network, a River Network production.
Yeah, we got a very special guest here, and you can see the show, the Facebook live stream. Go to the River Talk Facebook page. Hi, how you doing? And you can leave comments and see our very special guest here. His name is Mike McCormick, and he is an attorney in Belmont County, and he is running for the Republican nomination for Common Pleas Court Judge. He is running against prosecutor Kevin Flanagan. There is no Democrat that's running. Vavra's, I guess, retiring. John Vavra, good man. I like him, like his family. And so this is for all the marbles. This primary is it. You win the primary, you're the next judge. You're the next judge. So good luck with that, Mike McCormick. And again, if Kevin Flanagan would like to come in, I've reached out to him as well and be interviewed as well. More than happy to do that. We respect the whole concept of the fairness doctrine, and I'd be more than happy to have any candidate come in. So, but we have reached out to Kevin Flanagan, and no response yet. So more with a very special guest, Mike McCormick. So if you're a judge, what are some of the key important things that a judge has to have so they can, that person can be a better judge?
Well, I think the first and key component is humility. And I take my cue from Moses. Moses was a man who was face to face with God. I mean, he set up the whole judicial system that Israel had, the judges. His father-in-law Jethro said, "You can't judge everything. You have to set up an appellate court system, and you only take the tough cases."
Wow!
And if you read in the Bible says that Moses was the most humble man in the whole earth, and I think that is a rare quality for judges. For me, the pole star that I have in humility would be Ed Sargas. And Ed is a Belmont County boy. He was raised here in Belmont County. Tragically, he was orphaned, at a young age. His uncle Mel, an aunt took him in, and Ed just blossomed in the practice of law and became our U.S. District Attorney, and then was appointed as a U.S. Federal Judge.
What made him so special? Because that's your role model. What made him so special?
What makes him so special is his humility and his legal acumen. Mm-hmm. Ed is no dumbbell. The thing is that he doesn't have a pumpkin head about it. And I think that many people a lot of times that's what people dislike about the judiciary is that, when they become go on the bench, all of a sudden, if they were in private practice, they were in a fog, but when they go on the bench, everything becomes very clear to them.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what, distinguishes, Ed Sargas from the pack, is that, is just his humility, and he has so much ability. My daughter did an externship with him last summer, and she was very impressed by him, his court, how he conducted things, how he conducted his own self, his judicial temperament. And so that's, I guess he's my pole star for my judicial temperament.
Okay. So it's important to know who Mike McCormick is as the man, as the guy. So you brought lots of stuff to show our listeners who are watching on the Facebook live stream on the River Talk Facebook page, and I asked you to bring some stuff in so people get a better sense of who you are. And boy, you brought a lot of stuff in. What do you have here?
Well, I'm gonna put them in categories. I guess the first thing is that because it's Holy Week, I want to talk about, my faith and, where I'm coming from that. I'm a practicing Christian, just like I'm a practicing attorney. It means that, I never attain myself. And, we all know that there was only one perfect man. And so, but all of us are striving, for that, perfection. First thing that I have here is a small Gideon's Bible, and I received this from the Ebenezer Baptist Church in July of 1968.
I know the name of that church. Why is that famous?
The Ebenezer Baptist Church? Well, I think it's famous because I became a Christian there.
Oh, really?
Yes. But I became a Christian there on July the 10th of 1968 at Bible school. And in essence, what happened was...
May I show the
yes.
On
oh, yeah.
Facebook?
You can, yeah, on the inside, there's the inside, there's my name. And I don't know why I wrote the date in there, and then I erased it. And
go on.
So,
thank you.
Yeah, that's and I would say that my faith went into hibernation for a while. And going back when I was a kid, we all went on our bikes and went to all the vacation Bible schools in town. But I noticed two of the vacation Bible schools. It was different, and I couldn't figure out what it was until after I became a Christian. It was the Holy Spirit, and the message at the Ebenezer Baptist Church was different, and the message at the South Main Street Church of Christ, which is now the Bethesda Christian Church, which is pastored by Tim Snyder, a good friend of mine, I noticed that the message was different.
What's the message?
Well, the message is the gospel, you know, that Christ died for our sins, and that, you know, that we... You know, that through our good works, we cannot attain salvation. It's not a quid pro quo. It's not like I can be good, and because of that, God will...
reward you or something?
Yeah, will like reward me with heaven. It's not a transaction. That's right. It's not a transaction. But there was a transaction. The transaction was that Christ died in my stead. Mm-hmm. And so, and that's been a pole star in my life. It was the reason that, you know, I went to college. I wanted to study the Bible, and you know, I did that. I graduated from Malone University, which is a Christian liberal arts college in Canton, Ohio. It's operated by the Evangelical Friends Church. I graduated there in 1984. I kind of had a change of heart in the sense that I saw that, I couldn't be a pastor of a church simply because I was too much of a maverick, in the sense that, you know, what I saw was that you had to marry into the right family. You had to talk you had to talk the denominational politics how they wanted to see it, or you'd be always an outsider looking in, and I just couldn't have anyone, pulling my purse strings. And and I guess I'm not a glad hander. If I disagree with somebody, I disagree with them. I'm not going to be mean to them or pushy with them. But I guess that I have the same attitude my dad did, that I won't bother anybody, but nobody's going to bother me.
Yeah, we have X amount of time available, and I want to make sure that our listeners get to hear, and our viewers and the Facebook live stream on the River Talk Facebook page, see the other things you brought, and there are many connections to the Middle East. What is this? Is it a bottle of wine?
Yes, this is a bottle of wine. It's from Canaan. I went to Israel in 2019 and 2020, but actually this bottle of wine, I did not get there. This bottle of wine came from Jim Wagner, the founder of Zion Foundation. He gave me this wine. This is from.
May I hold that?
Oh yeah, sure.
Okay, great. Go on. What else do you have there?
I have an article that a magazine, Ariel Magazine. I wrote an article in the winter issue of the Ariel Magazine. Where will the Messiah return? And it's a biblical look at the Mount of Olives versus Bozrah. You're saying, where's Bozrah? Well, if you've watched the movie Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, in the last scene where they go in, they go into the Canyon of the Crescent Moon, and then they go into where the Holy Grail is. When they exit, when Harrison Ford and Sean Connery exit, there's a bunch of smoke and dust that come out of it. Well, that's Petra, and that's where Bozrah is.
That where they built the entire city or whatever into a rock?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, man, yeah, how yeah. cool is yeah. that?
And there's a picture of it actually in the article of that location.
Oh, my.
But there's the you can show them the
Thank you for the
that article.
Facebook, yeah. yeah. Go ahead. What else do you have there for us quickly?
Well,
I'm not going to read it, but I do have
I journal things, you know, and it's not like I do a diary every day, but I have things that I write down that I think are important. And I started writing, there's journal entries in this from 2006, mm-hmm. actually to 2020, and I've got things that add to it. But in 2022 or 2023, I put this together, and I titled it Journal to Judgeship.
And may I show?
Yeah, you can show them that.
And tell me very briefly, what am I holding here? What does this mean?
Well, it's my thoughts and impressions of you know, what, you know, God wants me to do, and you know, and my reactions to different situations and, you know, circumstances, you know, regarding that.
Does God want you to run for judge?
Well, he's never told me that. There's only two people that I've known that have had audible experiences with God. One is was Wild Bill Maxwell at Faith Ranch, and the other one is Jim Wagner. But God doesn't speak to me, no. I think that God has spoken through the Bible and that the canon's closed. I guess I'm like a blind man with a cane just tapping around. I know what God doesn't want me to do, but I very seldom know what he wants me to do. I do know that, you know, I've become friends with, the new pastor of the Friends Church, and, you know, I believe that that's from God, and that, you know, I'm supposed to be his friend, and we have had just a wonderful time, interacting with each other.
Is your faith motivating you to run for judge?
Absolutely.
How?
Well, I just feel that it's what I'm supposed to do. If you've ever watched the movie The Ten Commandments, when Charlton Heston is brought in before Pharaoh, you know, Pharaoh cross-examines him and says, you know, why have you become a traitor? Why have you done this to me? I mean, you know, you were an orphan. I fed you. You were in my household. I put you before my own son. And he stood up and he said, well, what would cause you to do this? And he goes through how, you know, the Egyptians had made, you know, the Hebrew slave. And then he stands up and he says, what I've done, I'm compelled to do. And then Pharaoh says, well, what I do, I'm compelled to do. And so I guess that's my response, is what I'm doing, I'm compelled to do.
Well, I wish you well with that. Also, there are a few other religious types of artifacts that you brought very quickly.
Yes.
Could you show those?
Okay, these are ashes from the Temple Mount. Several years ago, the Muslim group that's in charge of the Temple Mount, they dug up a bunch of the earth there at the Temple Mount, and they took it and they dumped it in the Kidron Valley.
Why did they do that?
Ask them. I mean, you know, I can't make sense out of nonsense. But in any event, the Israeli government and Dr. Gabriel Barkai, and actually Dr. Barkai died this year, they started the Temple Mount Sifting Project. And what they're doing is they're actually taking what they found there, you know, that earth, and they're putting in screens, and they're going through all of it, sifting through all of it, and they found gold coins, they found pieces of the temple, they found, and actually, the reason this is so gray is because of the ashes, because of the destruction of the temple when they destroyed it, when Nebuchadnezzar came in 786 BC.
Well, you know your history. My word, do you know your history. Very quickly, what about this?
This is a cross that Dr. John Maddox signed for me. I can't read it. It says, I think, something third of 15. But Dr. Maddox used to sign and give those out.
The Underground Railroad.
Yes, the Underground Railroad. And actually, Dr. Maddox became a Christian at 80 years of age.
Oh, really?
Yes. And it was because of our men's group that went to Zion. We had a retreat there, and subsequently he became a Christian. What he said was that, Mike, I've been, I've been a member of church all my life. I've been a deacon. I've been an elder, and he was at the Mount Pisgah Church there in St. Clairsville. You know, his wife's family, belonged to that AME Church, African Methodist Episcopal Church. And what he said was that, I was almost the pastor there doing things. He said, but I didn't understand now that Christ died for my sins. And what happened was we were talking about Bill Cosby. And what he said was, well, people are asking whether Bill Cosby did it. He did it, he said, because I was doing it.
What?
That's what he said. And then
Maddox
yes,
said this?
Yes, absolutely.
When he's a did it, what are you saying?
I'm just repeating what he said. He's not here to interpret it, but that's what he said. He said,
oh my God.
And what he said was, when I talked to him, I remember I rang the doorbell and went into his house, and he had his hands in his head, and he said, how am I going to repay for all my sins? How am I going to do this? And I asked him, well, are you willing to read a children's book for me and take a test? And he said, well, yeah. So I gave him The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and he read it. And I later on, after he read it, he came to the conclusion. He said, I've been to church all my life. He said, I never understood that Christ died for my sins until now.
My goodness, that's an amazing story. Got a short break coming up. Then want to talk with you about your pedigree Republican Party, including Donald Trump.